and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Concerns are already being expressed about President-elect Donald Trump's choice of Fox News host Peter Hegseth to be Secretary of Defense. CBS News military consultant and retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland.
He was and is a major in the Army National Guard and did see service as a junior officer in both Iraq and Afghanistan, which he was decorated for and should be honored for, but he does not appear to have the wide-ranging national security experience or, frankly, the corporate executive leadership experience.
The president-elect has named his envoy to an important U.S. ally, says CBS's Weijia Zhang.
Trump has picked former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee to be the U.S. ambassador to Israel. It is a critical role as Trump tries to fulfill a promise of ending the war in Gaza. Huckabee, an evangelical Christian who has led tours to Israel for years, is a staunch supporter.
Some defendants charged with participating in the January 6th insurrection are asking a judge to postpone their cases, says CBS's Scott McFarland.
They're making the argument that Donald Trump hasn't been cryptic. He has pledged pardons for January 6th defendants and that it's needless, a waste of resources, and unfair to proceed with their cases between now and then if a pardon's going to happen after the inauguration.
Employees have been injured in an explosion at a plant in Louisville, Kentucky. Details from CBS's Dave Melkoff.
Unknown. What the substance is, it's blowing out.
A loud explosion leaving a gaping hole at the Givaudan Sense Color Plant, a company that produces caramel coloring for soft drinks.
We need to understand this is not only a fire run, this is a structural collapse run, and this is a hazardous materials run.
Parts of the building collapsed. One person was pulled from the rubble, and 11 injured employees were taken to area hospitals.
Boeing says it will be weeks before airplane production fully restarts, now that machinists have returned following their seven-week-long strike. Details from Cairo's Heather Bosch.
The steps include ensuring worker training and certification is up to date. CEO of commercial airplanes Stephanie Pope says Boeing is facing a backlog of 5,400 airplanes.
Crews trying to get a wildfire along the New York-New Jersey border under control are dealing with windy and bone-dry weather. Christopher Franek with the New Jersey Forest Fire Service.
We're in very steep, rugged terrain. Fire crews are going in there and attacking it by ground transport. It's pretty much their hiking their way in. There's really no easy access.
The fire has burned about 5,000 acres near Greenwood Lake and has killed a park employee. The fire started last week. It's about 20% contained. And this just in, People's Sexiest Man Alive has just been announced on CBS's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, actor John Krasinski. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Coming up in the next Midday Magazine, we spend part one with Family Natural Foods. Stephen and Katrina Hintner will be with us. And in part two, Encourage. It's 4 to 5 Monday through Friday on WFHR.
The Milwaukee Bucks tried to avoid the cellar. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens for Civic Media Sports. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. Doc Rivers says the Bucks are working to turn things around.
Well, we just got to dig ourselves out of this hole that we're creating. We created it, all of us, me, them, together.
The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year, along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The announcement seems like only a matter of time, but there will be a sequel to the prequel known as Wonka. The 2023 film starring Timothy Chalamet was one of the top 10 highest-grossing films of 2023, so the announcement was more a question of when, not if. Director Paul King says the script is in the early stages and will take place before Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he might incorporate some exotic locations where they have to search for secret ingredients. The film Tremors from 1990 is getting a reboot. The team behind the horror flick, which was at times Pretty Funny has reacquired the rights to their script and are contemplating how to approach another crack at the franchise, according to JoeBlow.com. Yes, that's a real site. The original film took place in a small Nevada town that saw residents terrified of graboids. Kevin Bacon, who was in the original, has shown interest in the sequel. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds overnight, gusty southeast winds, lower 30s at sunrise. On Wednesday, we'll see mostly cloudy skies stay with us along with that breeze. Could have a late day shower, otherwise highs in the upper 40s. More likely time for rain will be Wednesday night. Currently 35 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Bob's Burgers writer John Schrader, and actor and creator of the first annual Milwaukee Independent Film Awards, Ezekiel Drews. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Effort. Visit unicefusa.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the second hour of our program. Donald Trump going after the press. What's up with that? On the line with us is Trevor Timm, the co-founder and executive director of the Freedom of the Press Foundation. Freedom.press is the website. Trevor Timm, all one word, T-I-M-M, by the way, over on Twitter. Trevor, welcome to the program. Tell us about how, well, first of all, what sort of attacks on the press do you expect from the Trump administration based on the things that they've said and done so far?
Right. So we don't have to speculate. We can actually look at what Trump has been saying on the campaign trail. So obviously, during his first term in office, he was very belligerent towards the press. But he's actually kind of increased the rhetoric and the seriousness of it in the past year. So multiple times on the campaign trail, he openly talked in front of thousands of people about imprisoning journalists to figure out their sources. He has, you know, talked about violence towards journalists. And we know during the first term, because it came out right after he left office, that he had spied on many of the biggest news outlets in America, going after Washington Post, New York Times, CNN, among others, getting their email and phone call records. And so, you know, you can look in Project 2025, for example, where they actually explicitly say, hey, we should roll back the Justice Department's guidelines for spying on the media and actually go after them more.
Wow. Now, the way that Viktor Orban and I believe Vladimir Putin as well basically took down the independent press in their countries was by doing something that Donald Trump has been advocating ever since he first became president 8 years ago, which is to change our libel laws so that public figures like the president himself can sue people like you and me who say or write or publish or even post on Facebook something that they consider to be defamatory. And, you know, what Orban did was he went after, you know, after he changed the laws in Hungary, he basically went after all these journalists and all these publications, personally bankrupted lots and lots of journalists themselves and bankrupted the publications with large judgments against them. And then as, you know, sort of like the Gawker scenario, you know, and then as these publications were floundering or about to go out of business, his billionaire buddies came in and bought them up for, you know, 15 cents on the dollar. And now all of the major media outlets in Russia and Hungary are owned by, you know, oligarchs who are in tight with Orban and Putin. Trump has on multiple occasions said that he wants to do something very much like that. Has he said that recently? Do we see that that might be actually a viable scenario? And if so, is that something that could be done by essentially executive order or by simply ignoring the Supreme Court's Times versus Sullivan ruling? You have J.D. Vance saying, you know, Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln both defied and ignored the Supreme Court. We can, too. Could this be the example?
No, it's a great question because, you know, during the first Trump administration, he talked many times about, quote unquote, opening up libel laws. And, you know, the case that you mentioned, New York Times versus Sullivan from the 1960s, is basically the bedrock First Amendment case of the 20th century. It essentially allowed news organizations to freely report on public officials without real fear of being sued out of business. You know, we know that Trump, both before his first term, during his first term, not only threatened journalists with lawsuits, but often carried them out. You know, he was a serial lawsuit filer. And, you know, there was even one case where he said explicitly, you know, I know that I'm not going to win this case, but I'm in this to essentially bleed the journalist or the news organization of money. And that is certainly a valid concern, given we've seen Clarence Thomas openly say in a court opinion that he wants to see New York Times and versus Sullivan overturned. And we've seen a lot of conservatives try to take this tact where they're going to sue news organizations. And so it's certainly a real worry. I don't know if they're going to go as far as ignoring Supreme Court precedent, given that New York Times versus Sullivan is so well established. But you could see them try to attack it in the legal system and eventually bring it to the Supreme Court again, which is, terrifying for any news organization.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the end of independent news in the United States, or certainly of opinion journalism in the United States.
No, absolutely. And, you know, the ironic part is that if they were to ever be able to carry this out, that Trump would actually probably be the biggest loser because, who is out there calling people names and making up lies more than Donald Trump? Ironically, the court decision in New York Times versus Sullivan is protecting him just as much, or if not more, than it is news organizations.
Yeah, although, in lawsuit pissing matches, essentially, billionaires tend to almost always win. I mean, they can just outlast everybody else. So this is kind of the dystopian perspective on what might happen. And feel free to add to it if there are other things I've missed. But how do we deal with this? What are the ways that we can, make our press freedoms more bulletproof?
Well, that's actually the great position that we are in now. You know, there are, even though the election is over, obviously the Congress will have one more lame duck session in which they're able to pass legislation. And the great news is there is an amazing bill, actually the strongest press freedom bill in modern history, that is very close to passing right now. So it's called the Press Act, and it would essentially do two things. Number one, it would bar the federal government from spying on journalists by secretly going to tech companies like Facebook and Google and getting their communications records. And then would also bar the government from threatening journalists with jail time if they refuse to testify against their sources. And so these are two things that Trump has either done in the past or has threatened to do in the future. And the best part about this bill is that it is incredibly bipartisan, so much so that it's actually already passed the House unanimously. This happened in January, and there wasn't a lot of attention around it. Yet, all the Senate needs to do is bring it up for a vote. It has powerful backers in the Democratic
Party. So this is all up to Chuck Schumer.
It is.
Why isn't he doing
it? Actually, it has Republican support as well. Lindsey Graham and Mike Lee are co-sponsors of it. And so really, Chuck Schumer and Dick Durbin need to prioritize this in the lame duck session. And it's the perfect vehicle for limiting some of Trump's powers that can hopefully preserve a little bit of accountability.
So the phone number for the congressional switchboard is 202-224-3121, and you can simply say, connect me to Dick Durbin's office, connect me to Chuck Schumer's office. I live in Oregon. I don't know who my senators are. Would you please tell me, and then connect me to one of them, and then just say, please bring the Press Act to the floor of the Senate for a vote before the end of this year, right?
Absolutely. We just need them to prioritize it. We already know that they actually support it, but it's about bringing it to a vote or getting it attached to a year-end bill. And again, the House has already passed this. Hundreds of Republicans have supported it in the House as well. And so this actually should be a no-brainer, a bipartisan no-brainer in the age of polarization. So there's many reasons for the Senate to prioritize this, but we just need to make our voices heard to make them know that this is important.
Do you think that you know, I'm guessing that Republican support, although Republican support is not necessary in the Senate unless this bill is filibustered, which wouldn't surprise me, frankly. But do you think that Republican support may change as a result of Trump being elected? Has he noticed the press act? Because this is kind of the opposite of what he's all about. Do you think he might sabotage this?
It's a good question. You know, he hasn't commented on it. I'm not sure if he's aware of it at all. However, you know, the good thing is that this actually would benefit conservatives or people who vote for Republicans as well. You know, everybody has a gripe with the mainstream media in some fashion or form. But everybody also gets their news from some form of online news organization, whether it's conservative or liberal or anywhere on the spectrum. And we've seen Democratic presidents, of course. President Obama actually went after and spied on multiple news organizations, including Fox News. And so that's why this bill is actually bipartisan. It takes a broad definition of journalists. It doesn't take into account ideology. And this, of course, will protect news organizations under Trump, but it will protect any journalist under any administration. And so, you know, Republicans have a big incentive to support it as well.
Great. So 202-224-3121. Call your senators and tell them pass the press act. Bring the press act to the floor and pass it this session. Trevor Tim, the co-founder and executive director of the Freedom of the Press Foundation, freedom.press. Trevor, thanks so much for dropping by. It's great talking with you.
Thanks so much. Anytime.
My pleasure. Thank you. We'll be back with more of the news of the day in your calls. Stick around.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I'll be right back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a second. It's the Tom Hartman Program, helping you win the water cooler.
Would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-550-9469. 800-550-9469. 800-550-9469. That's 800-550-9469.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabe and I'm an actual Schwabe. So there you go.
Now, what is a Schwabe? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air?
It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. There's one reason why most probiotics fall short. It all has to do with something called survivability. See, to work its magic, a probiotic must arrive alive in your gut. But to do that, it has to survive past your stomach acid, which is strong enough to dissolve metal. That's why for my gut health, I choose Just Thrive Probiotic. This stuff really works. It's the first probiotic formulated with four proprietary survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. In fact, third-party testing proves Just Thrive Probiotic has 1,000 times better survivability versus traditional probiotics, making it a game-changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood. And with zero gluten, dairy, or histamines, it's perfect for your whole family. Try clinically proven Just Thrive Probiotic 100% risk-free today and get 20% off your purchase. Visit justthrivehealth.com, three words, justthrivehealth.com. And to get that 20% discount, use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. That's Just Thrive Health, and use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M.
Justice and truth buried deep in the ground, sold to the highest bidder without a sound. Elections they claim to be fair and free, but look close enough, it's a billionaire spree. Who needs democracy when billionaires call the shots? They're rewriting the rules, taking all we've got. Dark money's pouring, drowning out the light. They're owning the stage in America's fight.
Welcome back. Judge James Ho is on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. He's a notorious right-winger, shall we say. And here's the deal. Stephen Miller recently tweeted that they want to start in 2025 a denaturalization process. Denaturalization is where you strip people of their U.S. citizenship. Now, the principal way that people, you know, second-generation immigrants, in other words, people whose parents came here as immigrants, acquire citizenship is through what's called birthright citizenship, which is written into the 14th Amendment. And what it says basically is if you're born in the United States, you're a citizen of the United States. Now, you know, we can debate whether that's a wonderful thing or not. There's very few countries actually that have birthright citizenship. In most countries, you have to, either you're a citizen by lineage, you know, or you have to jump through a bunch of hoops, as it were. But here in the United States, if mom can get here and give birth to you, you are a citizen. So Stephen Miller, as I mentioned, said he wants to do a denaturalization process. Now, that generally speaking, naturalized citizens are people who were not citizens when they came here, but applied for citizenship and received it. So there's kind of three categories here. People who are what you might call a natural born citizen. In other words, their parents were citizens
and therefore they are citizens, and they were born in the United States. Number one, category number one. And nobody's talking about going after those folks. Category number two, people who applied for citizenship and got it, naturalized citizen. And category number three, birthright citizens. That is, you know, mom came to this country, dropped the baby is you, you are now a citizen, even though mom wasn't. And that's birthright citizenship. So, as I mentioned, Stephen Miller wants to undo the people who have applied for citizenship. And by the way, for the last, I don't know, half a decade, maybe longer, maybe more than a decade, more than 50% of people applying for and receiving naturalization, receiving U.S. citizenship, have not been white. The majority of these naturalized citizens are not white people. It's not white people from Europe who are clamoring to get into the United States. If anything, it's the other way around. But people of color from all over the world are trying to get into the United States, and that's what Stephen Miller wants to reverse. But it always seemed that, you know, birthright citizenship was, you know, okay. You know, what's the big deal? People get here, they have a baby, their baby has U.S. citizenship. Well, this is what Judge James Ho of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court said in an interview on a podcast recently. He said, and I quote, "Birthright citizenship obviously doesn't apply in case of war or invasion. No one, to my knowledge, has ever argued that the children of invading aliens are entitled to birthright citizenship. And I can't imagine that the legal argument for that would be. It's like the debate over unlawful combatants after 9/11. Everybody agrees that birthright citizenship does not apply to the children of lawful combatants. And it's hard to see anyone arguing that unlawful combatants should be treated more favorably than lawful combatants." What he's talking about here is finding a sneaky little loophole to get the Supreme Court. It would start, you know, in the Fifth Circuit with him to get that. And he was one of these guys who was like, you know, gung ho with Trump's torture stuff. But this is a sneaky way to get, or not, I don't know if it's sneaky. I mean, he's coming right out and saying it, but a way to get a case before the Supreme Court where the Supreme Court can say, you know, yeah, the Constitution says if you're born here, you're a citizen, but we're not sure. And if your parents came here legally and you were born here, then sure, you're a citizen. But if your parents came here illegally, then you're part of an invading army. And therefore, even though you were born here, you're not entitled to citizenship under this logic that Judge James Ho of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is laying out. And I would bet you anything, Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito and probably at least three of the other right-wing justices would be totally down with this kind of logic. So we might be seeing some, you know, a large aspect of birthright citizenship going away during the Trump administration. Stay tuned, as they say. I'll be back with your calls right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Speaking the truth to right wingers would really rather you didn't know all about it. I'll be right back with you. Okay, dog parents, listen to how sneaky this is. When you look at a dog food label and see ingredients like wheat and rice, you might assume it's just a small part of the recipe, but it's not. A lot of popular dog foods use a trick called fractionation. For example, if you looked at a dog food label and saw wheat as the first ingredient rather than meat, that might raise some red flags for you. Big dog food companies know this. So instead of a lot of wheat, which would push wheat to the top of the ingredient label, it gets listed as a little bit of wheat, a little wheat flour, a little wheat gluten, so it's easier to miss, and it looks like wheat isn't the main ingredient when in reality, your dog's food could be packed with enough wheat to bake a loaf of bread. And bread is not in your dog's natural diet. That's why I love Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. The first four ingredients are premium turkey, beef, salmon, and duck. Blue and Chewy love this food. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cotton Krispies, their wild-caught Cotton treats. Just go to drmartypets.com, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply. So let me guess. Your medicine cabinet is crammed with stuff that doesn't work. You're still not sleeping. You're still hurt and you're stressed out. That's how it was for me. So I cleaned out my cabinet, reset my health with CBD from CB Distillery. It's been a real change. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical studies, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity. An impressive 90% said that they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't yet found relief, make the change like I did to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust. I have a 20% discount to get you started. Just visit cbdistillery.com and use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com. The code is TOM, cbdistillery.com.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief, a surprise choice by President-elect Donald Trump to lead the Pentagon, says CBS's Olivia Rinaldi.
Trump kind of surprised a lot of people by tapping Pete Hegseth to be his pick for Secretary of Defense. Yes, he is a combat veteran, but it was something that not really a lot of people had been tracking.
He's also expected to name Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio Secretary of State. Some January 6th defendants are asking a judge to hold off on their trials or sentencing because Trump has promised to pardon them, CBS's Scott McFarlane.
We'll see how the judges respond to these requests. The Department of Justice is fighting them, saying all of this is speculative and crimes committed means crimes should be adjudicated.
11 people have been taken to the hospital after an explosion at a plant in Louisville, Kentucky. Tyler McLean lives nearby.
I was just in my house and just heard a huge explosion. The whole house shook.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Beyonce might have been disappointed with her response from the Country Music Awards, but when it comes to Grammy nominations, she's at the top. Variety reports that Beyonce has been nominated for 11 Grammys, including Artist, Song, and Album of the Year for Cowboy Carter. Not far behind are some other heavy hitters, including, you guessed it, Taylor Swift, Sabrina Carpenter, Billie Eilish, and new kid on the block, Chappell Roan. Roan and Carpenter also up for Best New Artist of the Year. Looks like I got shut out again. Taylor Sheridan apparently decided he does not have enough shows on TV, so he is teaming up with Blake Shelton for a new music reality show. The Road will follow a big-time music star around the country in search of the next big musical talent. Deadline reports competing artists will have the opportunity to open for an A-lister in various towns to win over crowds. The music superstar who will lead the search has not yet been revealed. The Road will launch in the fall of 2025 on CBS. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. The announcement seems like only a matter of time, but there will be a sequel to the prequel known as Wonka. The 2023 film starring Timothy Chalamet was one of the top 10 highest-grossing films of 2023, so the announcement was more a question of when, not if. Director Paul King says the script is in the early stages and will take place before Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he might incorporate some exotic locations where they have to search for secret ingredients. The film Tremors from 1990 is getting a reboot. The team behind the horror flick, which was at times pretty funny, has reacquired the rights to their script and are contemplating how to approach another crack at the franchise, according to JoeBlow.com. Yes, that's a real site. The original film took place in a small Nevada town that saw residents terrified of graboids. Kevin Bacon, who was in the original, has shown interest in the sequel. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds overnight, gusty southeast winds, lower 30s at sunrise. On Wednesday, we'll see mostly cloudy skies stay with us, along with that breeze. Could have a late day shower, otherwise highs in the upper 40s. More likely time for rain will be Wednesday night. It's 33 at our studios.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores. Stars.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a Hump Day edition. Our very own Trinity Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, with a look back on the election that was. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Best source for your heart health, Superbearing Advanced Cholesterol Support. Just go to superbearing.com to get 15% off and save even more on bundles with the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. That's Superbearing, Super, S-U-P-E-R, Bearing, B-E-R-I-N-E, superbearing.com. And the code is TOM to save 15% off and even more on some bundles with that promo code TOM at superbearing.com.
There's a darkness creeping near. Can't you feel the chill? It's the echo of a voice that won't ever stand still. Rich men pull the strings, money speaks too loud. They're feeding lies and anger to a hungry crowd. A trouble will always lurk in the shadows. As long as hate and greed.
Trump will always lurk in the shadows. Welcome back, Bill in Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind today?
Tom, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
I think one of your previous callers kind of took the wind out of my sails about what I think is just amazingly clear, that it makes no difference. I think I said this before, that inflation's 2%. Compounded is 20% over the last 4 years. And I don't think it has anything to do with what media they listen to or watch. I don't think it's anything. I think it boils down to, as Carville said, it's the economy. And when you go in and talk about the greatest economy in the world, that's great macroeconomic premise. But if I'm going to Food Lion and my grocery bill is exponentially higher than it was before, I don't think that means anything to me.
I agree. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, Reagan faced this also, you'll recall. When Reagan came into office, in fact, in 1982, as I recall, Louise and I bought a house in Atlanta. We moved to Atlanta in 82. And we bought a house, and my recollection is that I paid 16% on that mortgage. Inflation was just exploding. It started with Nixon. It carried through the Carter years. Jerry Ford, remember, he had the whip inflation now buttons, win. And then Carter dealt with it, and then Reagan dealt with it. And Reagan finally got it down to 4.1% when he left office. But the thing that Reagan did during those 8 years that Joe Biden didn't do, because Joe Biden got it down to 2.7%, not 4.1%, which is the best Reagan could do. The thing that Reagan did is he went out frequently, not literally every day like Trump did, but damn close, and said, we're beating it. Everything's going to be great. Look at this. Look at what we just did. Every one of his accomplishments he bragged about. And that is the huge, massive, unforgivable failure of the Biden administration to simply tell America what they had done and the successes that they had had.
Can I ask you a question real quickly, though? Okay, Reagan got it down to 4%, but what inflation rate did Reagan inherit?
I think it was like 15, 16%. No, it was probably, if mortgage rates were 16%, the actual inflation rate was probably around 12. I don't remember, Bill. I'm sorry. I'd have to look it up.
It's funny because Reagan was the first Democrat I ever voted for, and it wasn't because of Carter and Durant hostage.
Reagan was a Republican.
Huh?
Reagan was a Republican.
Well, yeah, and I was thinking about all my family members that were probably turning over the graves, particularly the one down in TVA country where FDR's picture was right next to Jesus in any home you went into. But I did want to ask you at one of the topics, a little bit off point, while you're talking about the Main Street media and about the number of people that watch Fox News. Well, there's another kind of underlying question to that. I'm sure you've seen this since you're involved with media, is what's happened to MSNBC. I mean, it's kind of historical for a network to lose half their viewers.
Yeah.
And the other night I was watching Joy Reid's show, and I'll be honest, if I was a white woman, I'd be just incensed that somebody would make those kind of statements, because that's implying that all white women are basically brain dead.
Yeah.
And that's what she said, and they all had this racist undertone to them. I don't think that's the case. I mean, anytime you get half the people in this country doing anything, they can't all be attacked with a broad brush.
Yeah.
And I don't think that happens on either side. It's not right.
Yeah.
Because I don't think any.
Huh? We can pick nits with MSNBC or with Fox. You know, the bottom line is both of those networks have a very clear message. Although on Fox, it's very rare that you see a Democrat who's actually taking Democratic Party positions. Tulsi Gabbard is not, in my opinion, not a Democrat. Whereas on MSNBC, you've got a bunch of Republicans who are generally taking Democratic Party positions, but not always. I mean, Michael Steele still claims that he's a conservative, you know. And but all that said, I'm not sure what the point is you're trying to make, Bill.
Well, like I said, I think is that, you know, basically, you know, when like, for example, you bring up these things that are said false by Fox or on the left.
Right.
Well, if you listen to, and I didn't until the last week or two, if you listen to CNN's not quite the same, but MSNBC is just a litany of things that are, well, now as opposed to attacking people that don't, you know, that are not Democrats.
Yeah.
Now they're attacking each other.
Yeah. So, no, I there's a lot of finger pointing going on all the way around. And you know, just like there was in 2020 over on Fox. I don't know what to do about it or say about it, Bill. You've got, you know, Joe Scarborough's a Republican. What's her name? The former Bush person who has the noon show or the 1 o'clock. Nicole Wallace. She's a former Republican. I mean, you know, they're all on MSNBC. But, I think that MSNBC's the Drudge headline is MSNBC has took a big ratings hit. I think I'm guessing that that's right across the board on all media, that people were obsessing on the election. And now the election's over, and they're just going back to work, and they're going back to listening to music.
Well, I think also the question has come up, and I've heard this before, or I've read this many times, that the American public is not following legacy news to get news.
Yeah,
that's true.
No, people are getting more and more of their news from social media and from podcasts. That's true. Bill, I have to move along, but thank you for the call. It's always nice hearing from you. Good talking to you.
Okay.
Kevin in Santa Rosa. Hey, Kevin, thanks for listening to KNYP. What's up?
Hi, I'm calling. I'm going to make this fast to try and get it all in. I looked into the report you got yesterday about Stephen Spoonamore, his report about election rigging in Centre County, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And I looked for independent confirmation of what he was saying, and I found reference to the events that he's describing in a local online newspaper called statecollege.com, and State College is a municipality in Centre County, Pennsylvania.
Right.
And they did have trouble uploading the data. Scanning the missing votes did flip the presidential results from Trump to Harris, and it did flip the Senate results from Dave McCormick to Bob Casey, and there was a bomb threat on Tuesday night.
Right.
And Stephen Spoonamore speculated that the code checked the date and time, and if the votes were being counted during a specific specific time span, they'd be modified. Otherwise, they would be correct. That way, you could test the software repeatedly before the election, and it would work correctly. And then the algorithm would change during the count. And I'm a software engineer. What he says makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
No, he's implying.
Go ahead.
Yeah. He's implying that this could have happened all over Pennsylvania and the other swing states. And I saw something that said, if you want to recount a precinct in Pennsylvania, you need to have at least three people who voted in that precinct request it before November 14th. And there must be thousands of precincts in Pennsylvania, and they have 1 or 2 days to get this done, and nobody's talking about it.
Oh, interesting.
And my speculation is that, remember, in Pennsylvania, they put in a rule that said that the state could not start counting the mail-in ballots until the morning of the election.
Right.
If Stephen Spoonamore is correct, then whoever proposed that law might be complicit in rigging the vote counting.
You know, I read Spoonamore's stuff yesterday after I got that call, and it looks solid to me, and it does look like everything you just described happened. The question is, was this an anomaly, or was this the tip of the iceberg of a much larger conspiracy, essentially? And I also read yesterday that the Harris administration is starting to ask for recounts. I don't know if they're doing it in Pennsylvania. They're doing it very, or the Biden administration. They're doing it very quietly and kind of under the radar screen. But apparently Spoonamore has gotten the attention of somebody in the administration.
Good. Yeah, because it's easy to test, because the number of votes didn't match the number of people who checked in to vote in the in the voting poll.
And that was the flag that he caught. I'm with you. Kevin, thank you for the call. We'll just have to see how it shakes out. You know, this reminds me of Ohio in 2004, you know, Ken Blackwell using a backup system in Kentucky, as I recall, or Tennessee. Anyhow, Kevin, thank you very much. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's the place where despair is not an option. I'll be right back with you.
Car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, yeah. But I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, bye. Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. So let me guess, your medicine cabinet is crammed with stuff that doesn't work, you're still not sleeping, you're still hurt, and you're stressed out. If that's the case, clear out your cabinet and reset your health with CBD from CB Distillery. Louise and I did, and it's been a real change. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made with the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm. 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity. And an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change like we did to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust. I have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, to get 20% off everything on the site. That's cbdistillery.com, and the code is TOM, T-H-O-M, to get 20% off cbdistillery.com. Welcome back. 9 minutes before the hour. Picking up your calls here, David in Napomo, California. Hey, David, what's up?
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. A couple things. One, thank you, Merrick Garland. Trump isn't going to do time, but we're sentenced to 4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But the reason I called was a book that I ran across that just blew my mind. It's called The Broken Ladder, mm-hmm. How Inequality Affects the Way We Think, Live, and Die, by Keith Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. Amazing. I mean, I was, you know, commiserating about the results of the election and how, you know, the Democrats could have done a lot better job and blah, 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 blah. And then I started reading this book and I realized, my goodness, the reason so many people voted for Trump is because of the inequality that's in this country.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And it's an amazing book.
Inequality.
I'm sure you'll have to say about it after you've read it, and you might even read some of it on air.
Yeah, I just made a note. And let me recommend to you Raising the Ladder or Lifting the Ladder, one or the other, which is a book that came out about, I don't know, 8 or 10 years ago about inequality. And also The Spirit Level by Wilkerson and Pickett.
Let me write that.
Which is also about inequality and how corrosive it is, how the more unequal a society is, the higher levels of teenage pregnancy, the higher levels of STDs, the higher levels of suicide, the higher levels of homicide, the higher levels of crime, of general crime, the higher levels of depression, the higher, I mean, you know, just virtually every social ill you can define comes out of inequality in societies, because it basically makes us crazy. And if you don't know that we're wired that way, just walk into a kindergarten classroom with a box of cookies and give one cookie each to three kids, and then you know, and the whole rest of the box of cookies to the fourth kid, and then tell the other 30 kids, sorry, nothing for you, and watch what happens. You know, and you know, it's a, that is, you know, and so yeah, I'll check out that book, Broken Ladder by Keith Pine. Kim Jung-ha, I think, is the name of the guy who wrote Raising the Ladder. He's written several books on inequality. He's an American, but he's got a South Korean name. And, he's British, in fact. He's been on this program. In fact, I think he was with Oxford, wasn't he? Sean, it's been like 8 years or 10 years since we had him on. And then, of course, Wilkerson and Pickett run an institute out of the UK also devoted to inequality. But that's been the principal outcome of neoliberalism, David. It's been inequality. And it's, you're absolutely right. It's making us crazy. David, I got to move on. Thank you for the call. Thanks for sharing that. Tim in Mattawan, Michigan. Hey, Tim, what's up?
I just wanted to ask you, what makes you think there's going to be an election in 2 years? Because I'm skeptical.
There's still elections in Russia and Hungary. I think I don't think Trump's goal is to end elections. I think his goal is to convert America from a democracy, to the extent that we are, into what's called an anocracy, A-N-O-ocracy. And an anocracy is where it looks like you have a democracy, but because the oligarchs control so much of the political process, or they control the media, or they control all of the spending for political campaigns, that what people actually want never gets into office. And the one thing that I think will guarantee that we do have a democracy in 2026 is the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is still in there. They're still fighting, and they're about half sold out, but not quite half sold out. And that, to me, is a really good sign. It's that's the thread I'm hanging on to here, Tim.
Right.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Larry in Eugene, Oregon. Hey, Larry, what's up?
Morning, Tom. I have some history for you.
Okay.
Kind of fun history, actually. Way back in the day, one of my political science professors wrote a book that anticipated Trump pretty accurately, and even gave a formula for power that Trump used to win this election. I'll get to it, but the
sort
professor's
of
name
Lewis,
was... the professor's name was Eugene Burdick. You probably heard of him. He co-wrote The Ugly American, which was made into a movie with Marlon Brando.
Yep.
Okay, same guy. He co-authored that, and he wrote another book called The Ninth Wave, and the protagonist in that book was an awful lot like Trump. Now, this is from way back.
Yeah.
And anyway, this guy decided to run for president. He was just the same kind of character, very narcissistic, transactional, ruthless. And he developed a formula for power that was very effective. And I just saw it in action. The formula is fear plus hate equals power.
Yeah, no, Sinclair Lewis wrote a book called It Can't Happen Here back in the 1920s, maybe the 30s, that essentially suggested the same thing. It's not like we haven't been warned. Larry, thank you for that. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Okay, dog parents, listen to how sneaky this is. When you look at a dog food label and see ingredients like wheat and rice, you might assume it's just a small part of the recipe, but it's not. A lot of popular dog foods use a trick called fractionation. For example, if you looked at a dog food label and saw wheat as the first ingredient rather than meat, that might raise some red flags for you. Big dog food companies know this. So instead of a lot of wheat, which would push wheat to the top of the ingredient label, it gets listed as a little bit of wheat, a little wheat flour, a little wheat gluten, so it's easier to miss, and it looks like wheat isn't the main ingredient when in reality, reality, your dog's food could be packed with enough wheat to bake a loaf of bread. And bread is not in your dog's natural diet. That's why I love Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. The first four ingredients are premium turkey, beef, salmon, and duck. Blue and Chewy love this food. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cotton Krispies, their wild-caught codskin treats. Just go to drmartypets.com, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can...
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tom for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow. Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow is still on vacation, but Matt Rothschild is sitting in, and we're talking about all the news in Wisconsin and beyond. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more?